Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Football Friday. It is our third and final of the early line on Sports Grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. We send you into your football weekend here in this third and final hour. Up next, it's a preview of the Saturday slate in college football. The marquee matchups that you must know and all of the betting insight that you need. It includes 3 versus 4 tomorrow, bright and early. Noon Eastern time kick inside Beaver Stadium. It's number 3, Penn State. It's number 4, Ohio State, in a breakdown of a huge matchup in the Big Ten. In every other game that you need to know, Joe, Tuesday, a big day, obviously, where a lot of people might be mad and yelling about teams and votes and things like that. College football playoff rankings unveiled for the first time. And then in our final half hour, we will preview the entirety of the Sunday slate once again with our best bets. It's the NFL Week 9 pick 6. All that you need to know for the Sunday slate and beyond. So, Joe, one final hour to go. Let's set the stage for that weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking so very forward to it here, Ben. I mean, week 10 in college football, 9 in the NFL, and, you know, we've been saying it all show long. Even in college football, there are a lot of teams with very little room for error if they're going to make it in that top 12, Ben, and the next couple of weeks, I mean, hugely important, especially for Ohio State.
Yeah, big time, Joe. Big time. The narrative tomorrow in State College in Happy Valley will be happy for one, but not the other. But let's start, Joe, by hearing from the people. Looking back on Thursday night football, we have asked the public so many times, what's your prognosis on the New York Jets? Can they be a winning football team? Can they reach the postseason? A little bit tired out. We'll maybe get back to that if the Jets win their next 2 games or something of the sort. New York still 3-6, but a sliver of optimism, of course, after a win on Thursday. Might it be more impactful, though, Joe, the loss last night for Houston? 6-3 football team, but the Texans have not looked overly impressive this year at any point. They did not cover in their first 4 games of this year, booked as a favorite in all, 6-3 straight up, but just 3-5-1 now against the spread. What to make of the Texans? It's what we had to ask the people and fade the public. And Joe, of course, all of this tied into preseason optimism and now expectation for Houston. 10-win football team a season ago with a rookie head coach, DeMeco Ryans, and a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud. They win a playoff game against the Cleveland Browns. They now go from the Hunters to the Huntees. They add Stephon Diggs. They add Jonathan Greenard on the other side of the football. They make some moves to become better, and they are 6-3. But have they taken a couple of shots to that overall ceiling of trying to be a conference contender in the AFC? So how far will the Texans go? It was the question at Sports Grid on Twitter. AFC championship, AFC title game appearance, divisional round, or the wild card round. Joe, the Texans are a $2,000 favorite, minus 2,000, to get to the postseason. They are a hefty favorite to win the AFC South still, with a 6-3 record, the only team in the division above 500. But the public doesn't really see the Texans making much more postseason noise beyond that. Wild card round exit is the heavy winner, 55%. Outside of that, 39% might be a bye, but a divisional round at the very least. That would be probably more than likely one playoff win and nothing beyond. Joe, are you fitting the public?
Unfortunately, no, Ben, I am not, because I kind of agree with them here. I think the Texans had obviously a lot of room for error going into that game last night, because they've already beaten really the one team that they would have to worry about catching them in their division, and that's Indy. But they've already beat them twice. So, I was expecting a little regression. But we had said it earlier, Ben, this is a team that has six wins, five of which were within one score. So at some point, that is going to flip the other way. That's a lot of negative regression, I think, coming, not to mention injuries piling up, offensive line on the defense. We saw Will Anderson not come back into that game last night with an ankle injury. And it looks like C.J. Stroud is just getting beat up and beat up because of that offensive line. I think there are a lot of concerns and red flags with the Texans. Yes, yeah, they'll win the division and make the playoff, but boy, oh boy, I don't know that they're going to do anything else other than play one playoff game and you're out. And I think that's where the Texans will be.
And Joe, that might be success, I would say, still for a young Texans team. It might falter a little bit on expectation from the preseason. Again, the acquisitions and the moves made before this year were to make Houston not just a playoff team or the runaway favorites in a potentially bad division in the AFC South, but a true conference contender, the same ilk of a Kansas City, a Baltimore, a Buffalo. That is not necessarily what it seems the Texans are on track for. Don't just take our word for it. Earlier this week, Houston was 6-1 to win the AFC. We get the news that confirms that Stephon Diggs is out for the remainder of this season. They lose last night and do not look all that great in doing so against the New York Jets. That number, Joe, went from 6-1 about 72 hours ago, already back by $2 at plus 800, which has made the rest of the AFC a little bit more competitive at the top. By the way, the Chiefs, the favorites, rightfully so, at 2-1. The Ravens back by over a dollar, plus 330. The Bills back of Baltimore by just a half buck at plus 380. Before you get that drop off to Houston, you got to double Buffalo's price and then add on a couple of cents to even see the Texans. It's nearly double the number to get to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joe, we're starting to see those tranches, those tiers, those pegs around the AFC emerge, and it seems to be a tier of three, Kansas City in front of Baltimore, in front of Buffalo.
Yeah, and listen, that can all change over the next couple of weeks here, Ben, for sure, give or take a win here or there. But I do think the dark horse in all of this, and I don't even know how we can say it, because we all have to agree that if Buffalo is ever going to get to the big game, they're going to have to get through Mahomes and Kansas City, and this may not be the best year to do that. But I do think there's going to be that list there with the championship odds. I think these teams are going to be, that top three teams are going to be jockeying for position over the next 3 to 4 weeks. By the time we get to December, that could all look a lot different here, Ben, including maybe even the Steelers sneaking in there in the top three spot.
Well, that is going to be the really intriguing thing for Pittsburgh on the bye in week number 9, off to a 6-2 start. And the Steelers have covered in all six victories this year. But Pittsburgh's home stretch, oh boy, oh boy. Ooh. After the bye, they take on the Commanders. And then in their final eight games, they play all six of their divisional matchups in the AFC North. Maybe the AFC North division not as elite as we expected, with all four teams finishing with a winning record a season ago, three of them earning a playoff berth. And I do just want to mention this once again about the Houston Texans in the AFC South, minus 550 favorite to win the division. Joe, I would agree with you. I expect the Texans, when all is said and done, to still earn that divisional crown. But the AFC South has been wild the last few years, starting around this point of November. The Titans were 7-4 in 2022. They dropped their final six games. Jacksonville comes out of nowhere to steal that divisional title and then earned a playoff win. Last year, it was Jacksonville, 8-3. They lose five of their final six. The Texans come out of nowhere to win double-digit games, earn the divisional crown, and take a playoff game as well. Might that happen this year? I'm not so sure. But Joe Flacco, now the starting quarterback in Indianapolis, could it elevate this Colts team? We put the NFL to the side for just a little bit. A preview of Week 10 of college football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are going to see the caption, and it will beg the question. Is this a game of the year four on Saturday afternoon in State College, Pennsylvania? It's number 3, Penn State. It's number 4, Ohio State. It is week number 10 of this college football campaign. It's the opening Saturday in November. It starts the final month of the regular season. This is where things get good. Joe, the Buckeyes, despite being the lower-ranked team, are the road favorites, laying 3.5. The total is up by a point from 45 and a hook earlier this week, now at 46.5. And oh, brother, the narrative that we will have entering Saturday. We have shared it a few times on this show. It does bear repeating. Ryan Day is 2-6 in his tenure in Columbus against AP top 5 foes. James Franklin is just 1-9 against Ohio State during his time in State College, 3-17 straight up against AP top 10 opponents. Joe, it's the narrative. It's not necessarily numbers driven, but how much is the narrative affecting your handicap for tomorrow between number 3 Penn State and number 4 Ohio State?
Well, it's there, but quite honestly, if we're being realistic here, how do we trust either of these coaches in a big time game at this point? Both have shown an inability to be able to get their teams up and over the hump when it matters the most, especially Ryan Day over the last couple of seasons. And of course, you mentioned Franklin's record. They can't beat Ohio State. They beat everyone else. They can't beat Ohio State. But having said that, if they were ever going to get one in the W column against OSU, it's got to be in this game at home. Ohio State's offensive line right now is an absolute mess. Their left tackle, Simmons, is out for the year. His backup, who wasn't very good, got hurt last week. So now you got another backup to the backup on that offensive line with a couple of other young guys there. Now they're going to face a Penn State pass rush led by Abdul Carter that is one of the best in the country here, Ben. They can't run the ball. They can't run the ball because the offensive line of Ohio State is terrible. So if Ohio State can't run it, that means Will Howard has got to beat him with his arm. Now, they got all the talent in the world, but maybe the most talented unit of Ohio State is that defense. And Penn State's quarterback, Alar, still questionable, although they've got plenty of experience in the backup. To me, I forget the side in this game because I think both teams are going to do everything they can to try to lose this game. I think the under is the way to go. I think both defenses, Ben, have all the edges in this game. It would not shock me if this is a 17-14 kind of game here. I don't see over 46.5 points at all. It's an under for me in this one.
So I lean the other way just based on what we have seen this year. Ohio State has played in one game with a 17-point spread or less, thus expected to be competitive. It was in Autzen, another road game, another top five tilt. That game went well over 32-31, the final there for the Buckeyes. And to your point, Joe, Ohio State's still one of the elite defenses in the country. They allowed 34 points in their first five games. They then gave up 32 to the Ducks and 17 last week against Nebraska. Ohio State is great at limiting scoring against them, even if they give up some yardage. They've only allowed 10 red zone attempts this year, tied for the fewest amount alongside Ole Miss, and just six red zone touchdowns. And Penn State's defense is absolutely elite, especially in the second half, just 30 points allowed in the final two quarters of each of their seven games this year. But Penn State has only played to the over twice this year. It also came in a game that featured their lowest spread of the season. That was against USC a few weekends ago out in Southern California. And Joe, the narrative is going to continue for one of these two programs, for one of these two head coaches tomorrow afternoon. Is Ryan Day going to fall to 2-7 straight up against AP top five foes? Is James Franklin only going to have one win to his name against Ohio State in his now 11 seasons in Happy Valley? It is going to be monumental. Both of these teams still heavily favored to get into the college football playoff, and Ohio State is the favorite to win this game. But the Buckeyes' remaining schedule, much more difficult than that of the Nittany Lions. They still have Indiana and, of course, the rivalry, the game against Michigan to end out the season. So let's talk about those reigning national champs against the number one overall team in the land, the Oregon Ducks, more than a two-touchdown favorite on Saturday afternoon inside the Big House against the Wolverines. Total at 44.5. Joe, the Ducks have been dominant the last month of this college football season. Will that continue in Ann Arbor tomorrow?
I can't see Michigan keeping this thing even. They're just a bad team. Yeah. And listen, we expected them to be bad. Anybody who thought this was just going to be business as usual has not been paying attention. I mean, the overhaul on this roster and the coaching staff, what did you expect here? In the meantime, you've got Oregon continuing to keep their foot on the gas and playing some of their best football. And I still think the best is yet to come. I think it's scorched earth time for them. And I mean, 9-2 against the number as a road favorite under Lanning. My goodness. I think Oregon pushes Michigan around, who's going to be playing from behind, Ben, which is never a good situation here. I just think it's a long season for Michigan, and that will be shown again here against Oregon.
That is a really good point, Joe, because if Michigan is playing from behind, are you going to trust Davis Warren to win you a football game? They did come back last week against MSU late in the opening half, but Michigan State is not Oregon. That we shall see. Third time this year for the Maize and Blue as a home underdog. Happened just once in the previous three seasons with Jim Harbaugh. Only five times in total in the 9 years that Harbaugh was the coach in Ann Arbor. We will look at 8-0 Indiana taking on Michigan State on the other side of the break. But it starts with this confirmation yesterday from IU's head coach Kurt Cignetti. Curtis Rourke is back. The signal caller for the Hoosiers is expected to play tomorrow in East Lansing. Can Indiana be 9-win-diana in their first 9 games? Find out next elsewhere around college football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we said right before the break, as we get you set for the Saturday slate around college football, welcome back, Curtis Rourke. Great news for Indiana, an Indiana team that is 8-0 for the second time in program history, the first time since 1967, looking to improve to a perfect 9-0 on Saturday in East Lansing against Michigan State. Spread is now 7.5 with some uncertainty around Rourke's status earlier this week, Joe. It was under that touchdown number. Now, Michigan State's been a decent underdog this year, 3-2-1 against the spread. Indiana's been a covering machine. Of their eight wins, all eight by at least two touchdowns. They have covered in seven of eight. The only non-cover, week number one for IU against FIU, won the game by 24, missed out on the cover by the hook as a 24.5-point favorite. Can Indiana keep it rolling tomorrow in East Lansing against the Spartans?
Yeah, so what? Indiana beat Washington last week by 14 and didn't have their starting quarterback, but you just said it, right? Right? Curtis Rourke back behind center this week, and call me crazy. Even Michigan State and Jonathan Smith, who I love, and I do think that program will be, in over the next couple of seasons, a team in which is probably not going to find themselves getting points at home very often. But in this particular case, Indiana being 8-0 against the number, their head coach, Cignetti, over 70% ATS in his coaching career at this level. There is, if it ain't broke, Ben, we don't fix it here on the early line. And you know what? Indiana ain't broke, and neither is them covering games. So as far as I'm concerned, all in on Indiana in by double digits here against Michigan State.
Joe, this is a game that the odds makers still do not have the belief in the Hoosiers as being the wagon that we have seen this year. The cover percentage, the cover margin is 15.7 points per game. That means they are passing expectation by nearly three scores. A lot of people have poked holes in IU's resume and its strength of schedule. No doubt about it. It's 107th in the country. It's the worst in the Big Ten at this point. But it does get more difficult. This is a time for Indiana to prove it. And if we know one thing about Coach Sig, he's going to have the boys ready. Joe, completely agree with you about Michigan State. Jonathan Smith has this program trending in a positive direction. A couple of coaching lapses and some young miscues from their young quarterback in Aiden Childs cost them the Paul Bunyan Trophy last week in Ann Arbor. But they're moving in the right direction. Believe you me. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party tomorrow in Jacksonville. It's number two, Georgia, and it's Florida. This line was 16.5 earlier in the week. It's down by a full 2 points, 14 and a hook, but still north of two touchdowns, Joe. Can Florida keep this game competitive against its dogs?
No. I just don't see how they can here. But, I mean, listen, Georgia, that was a tough game here. But they have all the experience in the world, right? They have an experienced quarterback, an experienced offensive line for Georgia. We have a Gators defense, which has played, what, three games now against ranked opponents and has allowed close to about 7 yards per snap to teams like Miami, Texas A&M, and Tennessee. I don't know. Well, obviously, they lost Graham Mertz. So the young Lagway there, the freshman quarterback, who I think is actually pretty decent. They scored 48 points against Kentucky. That's their season high. But how are they going to hang with this Georgia defense, much less going to stop this Georgia offense here? I just think it's too much to ask. I think it'll be close in the fourth quarter, and eventually Georgia will pull away. So maybe Florida early, but Georgia certainly late.
The Bulldogs are just 1-5 against the number as the favored side this year. Just 2-5 ATS overall, including the outright victory the last time we saw UGA a couple of Saturdays ago in Austin. In both covers for Georgia this year, under 52.5 was the number, now 51 in the hook. Florida has covered in three straight games as the underdog, Joe, and the defense has been lights out. I lean under 52.5. Let's show the rest of the games from week number 10. We'll get a couple of picks from Joe Ranieri on the other side before we delve in to the pick six. Only two ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts. How about this one? Two undefeated teams in the ACC, one unbeaten overall. It's 18th ranked Pitt on the road against 20th ranked SMU. Miami looks to stay perfect. Texas A&M, Trappity, trap spot in Columbia tomorrow against the Gamecocks, and plenty more. A few more college football best bets, and then the pick six for week 9 in the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, the rest of this college football slate for Saturday. Joe, I do want to highlight the second ranked versus ranked matchup of this weekend. The only other one outside of the top five tilt in-state college. It's Pitt, it's SMU, the Panthers, number 18 in the country. SMU, in its first year in ACC play, is unbeaten, ranked inside the top 20. Pitt is a perfect 7-0 overall for the first time since the early 80s, and yet the Stangs, in the heart of ACC country, in the heart of Texas and Dallas, laying more than a touchdown. Joe, can Pitt stay in this game? Maybe even pull off the outright upset?
It's kind of crazy, right? I mean, SMU's only loss was by 2 points versus the undefeated BYU team, right? You've Correct. Got Pitt, who has not lost. They're still 7-0, and yet here we are in the ACC of all places going, what a huge game this is going to be. Listen, I think the SMU barely beating Duke last week was an opportunity to get a better number in this game, because I do think SMU is the better team here. I think SMU's offense should be able to put up some points. It's a big ask, asking the young quarterback of Pittsburgh to go on the road here. I do think SMU wins this game. I'm not sure they cover it, Ben, but I do believe SMU wins it. And more importantly, I think it's a fantastic in-game live betting opportunity.
Yeah.
Hope Pittsburgh gets out in front and jump all over SMU.
That game in prime time, brother, 8 p.m. Eastern time out in Dallas. Pitt this year, 7-0 straight up. They have covered in 6 of 7. They are a perfect 2-0, both straight up and, of course, then against the number as an underdog. Both of those games, they allowed at least 27 points. SMU over in 4 of 5 games since their only loss of the year against BYU. I think we see some points, and we did get confirmation from both head coaches, Rhett Lashley of the Stangs, Pat Narduzzi of the Panthers, that they're two talented quarterbacks, Eli Holstein for Pitt and Kevin Jennings for SMU, are good to go. They are cleared. They are ready to play, both dealing with some injuries in their most recent game. Quickly here, Joe, final game we'll get to, and then, of course, we'll spin it around the National Football League in the Sunday pick six for week number 9. A&M, who has been highly impressive since losing its opening game of the year against Notre Dame, is now only a 2.5-point favorite on the road in Columbia against South Carolina. It feels fishy. It certainly feels like a trap spot. Will the Aggies avoid it tomorrow against South Carolina?
I think they will, because basically the entire world has apparently circled South Carolina as an opportunity for them to win this, which means that, yeah, I'm good with Texas A&M. I mean, it's not a great start here. Don't get me wrong. It's not a great spot for Texas A&M. But is it Wegman that's going? I mean, South Carolina at home has been pretty profitable in these spots. And let's face it here, A&M 2-5 against the number is a road favorite. But I don't know, man. I like Texas A&M's defense. I think Mike Elko has got this team believing, and I think they're worthy of the hype. I don't trust South Carolina or their quarterback to make a play when it matters the most. I'll take Texas A&M in this one.
We haven't got official confirmation who is starting at quarterback. If Mike Elko understands what is best for his team, it should be the freshman Marcel Reed. I actually like some points in this matchup, over 43.5, despite two really good defenses. South Carolina, great against the run. Texas A&M, second best rushing offense in the SEC, averaging more than 220 yards on the ground. Only about .190 through the air. They're almost like a service academy. Oh, by the way, Army takes on Air Force tomorrow. The Black Knights wearing the skull on their helmet. They're a 21.5-point favorite against the Falcons. Whew. All right, college football, thank you for your fun. Now it's time for the NFL week number 9, pick 6. Again, a reminder, our favorite anytime touchdown score of the weekend, somebody to hit pay dirt, a moneyline underdog to pull off the outright upset, our favorite under of the weekend, an alt line with a sprinkle of plus money, favorite yardage prop of the weekend. We combine forces for a 2-leg, 6-point teaser. All right, German Emery, your favorite anytime touchdown score of this weekend is who and in what game?
All right, so we want to start and make life easy for us. So why don't we just go James Cook anytime touchdown for the Buffalo Bills taking on the Miami Dolphins. I mean, I don't know. He only has 8 touchdowns this season already. He's also has 4 in his last 3 games against Miami. Yeah. Josh Allen doing a great job. They're not asking him to run in the red zone this year as he has in years past, which means that Cook is getting a lot more opportunities. And again, I do think he is going to have an opportunity in this game. 5 TDs in 5 games versus Miami. He has scored in 5 of his last 6 games. No reason to think he'll be kept out of the end zone in this one.
Multiple touchdowns last week as well for Buffalo, and they absolutely pasted Seattle on the road in the Northwest. My favorite touchdown score, Joe, I didn't look at James Cook. I decided to go J.K. Dobbins at -115. Listen, I think the Chargers have the Browns come back down to earth ever so slightly on Sunday. I think it's a big L.A. game. I think they run the football well on the road in Cleveland. A Bolts team, Joe, that is 4-3 this year. And you can really see why they are 4-3. Under in 3 of those 4 games. Under in 6 of 7 overall this season. And in the 4 victories for the Chargers, it has been the ground game. It has been J.K. Dobbins. He has scored a touchdown in all 4 victories. He has not hit the end zone in any of their 3 losses. I expect the Chargers to win. Thus, I guess it follows suit that J.K. Dobbins will score -115. Joe, I looked at James Cook for my anytime TD prop, decided to go J.K. Dobbins. Last week, my moneyline underdog was the Cowboys. Thought about them again in what I think is a ripe spot for an upset and maybe one Dallas has to have in Atlanta. I backed off because I was spurned. You did not. Why are the Cowboys beating the Falcons in the A on Sunday?
Oh, they don't have a choice. I mean, let's face it here. Now, there is some question. Will they have Bland back? Will Micah Parsons be back? There is hope in Dallas that they can do that and help solidify this defense a little bit. But I mean, when you have a total of 52.5, you know, the market is telling you there are going to be points in this game. It would not shock me. Indoor conditions are perfect. If we get this wild shootout between, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott going up against Kirk Cousins and a plethora of weapons here, I just think I like Dallas's kicker. I like the opportunity for Dallas to come in here, and they do this every year, right? We stick a fork in them. And then all of a sudden, Dallas will rattle off a bunch of games and a bunch of wins, and we all go, oh, boy, here comes Dallas. Yeah. I think this is one of those games in which Dallas can go to Atlanta and right this ship a little bit here and get it done.
It is really what they have to do, Joe. 3 wins this year for the Cowboys, everyone on the road, 2 of them outright as an underdog, despite getting beat bad by San Francisco a week ago. Much like you, the reason I look at my moneyline underdog is because it has to happen now. It's now or never for Dallas. It's now or never for the Dolphins as they make a road trip to Western New York to take on Buffalo. Miami, Joe, with Mike McDaniel as an underdog, 6-11 against the spread, 3-14 straight up. Of teams that have been an underdog double-digit times since the start of 2022, the Dolphins have the 2nd fewest outright wins. 3. So why in the world am I backing them on Sunday? The optimism we saw offensively out of Tua Tagovailoa, if they can play clean in Buffalo, maybe this is where they can win. Joe, I agree with your point in Dallas. It's now or never for Miami. They lose this football game and fall to 2-6. Not only is the hole too deep to crawl out of to make the postseason this year, I think there will be some real questions about Mike McDaniel, a guy that has done a lot with Tua, and without Tua, has looked lost and really like he can't figure it out. But Tua Tagovailoa is there on Sunday. The rest of the Week 9 pick 6. It's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The week 9 pick 6 all around the National Football League. It's Ben Stevens. It's Joe Ranieri. And wouldn't you know, we are in lockstep. We are seeing the board in many similar ways, Joe. We both looked at anytime TD scores to find the end zone at a minus 115 price. In fact, I looked at your guy, James Cook. I gave out J.K. Dobbins. I think the Cowboys are ripe for an upset on Sunday. That was your Moneyline underdog pick over the Falcons. I go with the Dolphins. And how about the same exact under of the weekend? Joe, it's a matchup of a couple of teams that have won either one game or two games this season, facing off in Nashville on Sunday. It's the Patriots and the Titans. The total is 38.5. We both lean under. Explain your rationale, please.
Well, I mean, both these teams blow. And we now are going to go, is it Drake May? Is it Kobe Smith? I mean, either which way, the best units on the field are going to be the defenses. I do like Tennessee's defense a lot, but do not look at the Tennessee-Detroit game and think that, look at, I mean, the Tennessee-Detroit game was, most of the damage against Tennessee was done on special teams anyway. They are 1-6. The only team they beat were the Dolphins, who couldn't move the ball. And they actually tacked on in garbage time when the game was already over. And at that point, I mean, it was the only time they scored more than 17 points, and they needed a safety and 3 field goals to get there. I don't see how we're getting above and beyond or even close to 40 points in this game. It's got 20-10 written all over it, Ben. It's a big under for me in this one.
Joe, you know what's crazy? That one win of the year for Tennessee, and the one time they have scored more than 17, that 31-point performance against Miami, even without Tua Tagovailoa. You remember, the Titans were an underdog in that game, catching 2.5 points. They won it outright. Tennessee has been a favorite twice this year, against Indianapolis in Joe Flacco's first start, and against also Green Bay when Malik Willis filled in. They lost both of those games outright. They scored 17 points or less. Jacoby Brissett seems on track to start this week, at least based on the latest reports. Could change. Of course, Drake May out last week with a head injury, and Jacoby Brissett did look good when needed to against the New York Jets. But in the 5 starts that he has made this year for New England, 20 points or less in all 5, 10 points or fewer in 3 of 5. You find me 39 points, I shake your hand. I think we stay under 38.5 in Nashville on Sunday. And again, in lockstep, I do declare, if Joe Flacco is slinging that thing, then we're seeing some points on Sunday night. The veteran steps in, Joe, for his 3rd start of this year for Indianapolis. Colts 5.5-point underdog in Minneapolis against the Vikings. How do you think Joe Flacco performs in the Shane Steichen offense as we talk some plus money in the alt line?
Well, he's got to perform. I mean, the bottom line is they're not going to be able to run in this game. And I think we all understand the ability of what this defense of Minnesota brings to the table against the run. They've been absolutely lights out here. Now, Jonathan Taylor's been great, but you don't have a mobile quarterback. You've got a quarterback in Flacco where you know you're going to be up against the run, which means you're counting on Flacco's passing ability to win you this game. And I don't know, call me crazy, over 1.5 touchdown passes seems feasible here, especially since he's done this in 8 straight games, despite some of them, Ben, even coming off the bench late in games here, cold. So I got no problem backing a guy who's being put in to throw the ball, not to hand the ball off. Flores absolutely is going to be bringing it, which is going to give opportunities for guys like Downs to have big games. Flacco, expect a big, big game. If you think Indy's got is a live dog, he's going to do it because Flacco's going to have 3 touchdown passes when it's all said and done.
No doubt about it, Joe. No doubt about it. It's that gunslinger mentality that led to my alt over coming through last week in the game between the Browns and the Ravens. Let Jameis Cook, let him rip. You don't make the quarterback change. Of course, they had to do so out of injury. But you don't name Jameis Winston the starter and Joe Flacco the starter because you expect them to throw it 20 times and not do what they do. Let Flacco throw for 3 touchdowns and let Sam Darnold answer to go over 50.5. That alt total on Sunday night. 46 and a hook is the number right now, just in normal times, plus 144 to go over 50 and a half. If you wanted 49 and a half at plus 126 to the over, I'd hear that as well to just keep it under that number of 50. Indianapolis, Joe, under in 5 of 8 games this year, but two overs. They're two of their overs coming when Flacco played a majority of the game in relief duty against the Steelers in that comeback effort against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Indianapolis, by the way, a perfect 5-0 against the spread as an underdog this year. Just something to note. Minnesota over in 3 of its last 4 games after 3 consecutive unders to start the year. Now, that has come against the Packers, the Lions, and the Rams on a short week, allowing 29-plus in all 3 of those overs. But again, I just told you, I think Indianapolis can add it up ever so slightly. And Joe, Minnesota is the second-best rushing defense in the NFL. They're a top-10 scoring defense in the National Football League. They are the third-worst passing defense. Some of that earlier in the year, they had big leads, so guys like Jordan Love would throw for a ton of yards in those comeback efforts. But the last few weeks against Jared Goff in losses, Matthew Stafford dicing up that secondary on a short week, Thursday Night Football. Let Joe Flacco go. Your favorite yardage prop of the weekend, Joe Ranieri, is what?
Give me as many rushing props as I can. Atlanta, Bijan Robinson over 73.5. Algiers over his. Everybody gets over their rushing prop against this Dallas defense.
The second worst rushing defense in the NFL. It's pretty simple, Joe. I'm not sure how they slow things down. I think it's going to be a big way of attacking for the Falcons on Sunday. Again, we are in lockstep. You go to a running back named B. Robinson for your yardage prop, I do the same, but Brian Robinson Jr. against the Commanders. Ooh. After the break, we'll try to find, the number is out. No, it's not. They do have rushing props available, but just for Jaden Daniels and Daniel Jones. I'll say, though, why I like B-Rob in the backfield on Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we have done our research during the commercial break. The yardage props not posted yet for any running back in the Giants and Commanders game. Both quarterbacks, nimble and able to use their legs, have a number posted. Not Tyrone Tracy or Devin Singletary for New York. Not Brian Robinson or Austin Eckler for the Commanders. Now, B-Rob did miss a game a couple of weeks ago against the Ravens and is limited, at least in practice this week, with a hamstring issue. So I guess that's slightly concerning. What is not concerning is this Giants defense, Joe. Worked like a charm on Monday night. Najee Harris over 100 yards once again. Brian Robinson Jr. in the first matchup against New York, $133 on the ground. The Giants have played a total of 4 teams, including the Commanders, but 3 other teams that rank outside of the bottom 6. Not even like bottom 10, bottom half league, bottom 6 of the NFL this year in terms of rushing yards, and have allowed at least 94 yards on the ground to Aaron Jones. Saquon Barkley put up $178, and last week, of course, Najee Harris over the century mark as well. Whatever the number is, I don't think it's going to be crazy on Brian Robinson Jr. either. Probably something mid-70s. I'll bet the over. Maybe a B-Rob running back tandem parlay. Bijan Robinson over his number, Brian Robinson Jr. over his as well. All right, Joe, our hot streak in the 2-leg 6-point teaser came to a close last week. We had dropped our first 5, but it was a wild year in the NFL. We had 1-2 straight. The darn Jets again costing us, not even able to win outright against the Patriots last week, Joe. Darn Aaron Rodgers. Hey, what are you going to do? We get back on track this week, and we're both looking at dogs and taking them up. Where do you go first?
Well, I'm going to be a home dog for me, and that's Green Bay up and over a touchdown, 8.5, going up against Detroit. Again, at home, getting points. The thing that with a team like Detroit, who is going scorched earth and is beating the snot out of everyone they play, including teams like Dallas and Tennessee, what happens is that usually inflates the power rating of that team. Keeping in mind, Ben, this is pretty much a parity-laden league here, and that's not what we're seeing with this price. So Malik Willis, by the way, 2-0 with Green Bay as the starter, 1-0 when he enters in relief. I do think Jordan Love has been practicing. I think he goes. I think this is a field goal game at best. I wouldn't be shocked if Green Bay wins outright, but there is too much value in Green Bay getting 8.5 points for me to not use them in a teaser this week.
Take it through two key numbers, through three, through seven. Great look, Joe. Green Bay 10-5 against the number as an underdog this year. They were since the start of last year, I should say. They have been an underdog three times this season. Sao Paulo opener in Brazil, all right, a little bit wonky, didn't cover. But with the two starts Malik Willis has made, the Packers have won outright as an underdog, a really good dog team. I look at the Denver Broncos, taking them through 8.5, through 10, through 14. We'll go over two touchdowns, catching 14.5 against the Baltimore Ravens. Joe, I express some concern with this line. You think the Ravens win big. All right, just don't win by three scores, win by two touchdowns, and keep it at that. I do think this line is a little bit strange, though. Lamar Jackson has missed two consecutive days of practice. The line has worked down from 9.5 now to 8.5. I understand the Ravens are going to be a little bit miffed after blowing a game last week. But Baltimore, a favorite of a touchdown or more twice this season, they've lost outright in both. Good against great competition, not so great against mediocre competition this season. And although Denver is 5-3 and 6-2 against the number, I do think it's a step-up spot for the Broncos. I don't think the Broncos win this game outright. Heck, I'm not even sure they cover the original spread, but we'll keep it under 14 points, or at least within that 14.5 point number. That does it, Joe. Week number 9 is set on Sunday. Week number 10 is set for tomorrow in college football. I hear you're checking out your Pokes in Stillwater tomorrow. What a trip on this college football weekend to start November.
Yeah, I got to go back to the scene of the crime in my college days to Stillwater, Oklahoma. I was hoping this would be the game in which I would be celebrating the cashing of the over 7.5 wins for the Oklahoma State Cowboys that I have in my pocket. But instead, I am going there and putting everything I have on Arizona State to blow the doors off them. And I want to see it live and in person, Ben. So that's where I'll be, rooting Arizona State at my alma mater. Yes.
Have a great weekend to you. Have a great weekend to all of you. We'll see you Monday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.